All right, so there is an old Chinese proverb that says, "May you live in interesting times." It is also said that that is, in fact, a curse. Because the problem with living in interesting times is that there's so much shit going down. It's almost too much. It becomes overwhelming. The mind can't keep up. And for as active and imaginative and creative and excited and whatever other adjective you want to use to describe our present minds, there's a lot happening, guys, and it's happening super fast. There's one thing that I think we can all agree on, that all of this stuff, particularly with AI, with technology, it's like after 2020, somebody flipped a switch and there's just something coming out and then something coming out and then something coming out very quickly. And I have to admit, it's a bit overwhelming. And so I wanted to sit and record all of my thoughts as they were happening in real time, at least at this present moment in space time, for posterity. I wouldn't really say that there is an active purpose. I'm not intending to convince anybody, once again, of anything. This is simply, these are my thoughts, these are my observations, these are my musings, all having to do with AI. So here we go. It's a lot. And I'm certain that if you're watching this, then one, you're part of the shadow ban crew. I stay shadow ban guy. I don't know what. If you're vibing with this, it's because we're on the same wavelength. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about, you've probably had those thoughts too, which is part of the reason why I decided to just sit and record this, because I don't want you guys to feel like you're alone. I know that I'm not alone with these thoughts. And but it's worth it to put the thoughts out there so you don't feel alone too. Here's the first thing. I have had, and I put out several podcast episodes. I have a whole podcast dedicated to this whole world. This came out in 2017, 18, that our whole entire reality is already controlled by an AI. And then from that point, I built up on those ideas on, videos and podcast episodes on Your One Black Friend as well, which is a separate podcast from the one I'm referring to. The one I'm referring to is The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, which some of you may or may not be familiar to about, but or with rather. And I've been talking about this for a long time before everybody started talking about it. Before The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, because obviously if I'm going to build a whole podcast on the topic, then it's because it's been on my mind for a while. So even before 2018, this has been on the forefront of my mind, as you guys know, because I keep talking about it. but that's besides the point. What am I making of all of this? I have warned about companies being able to strip artists of their voice, and I sit intentionally flanked by some of my favorite pieces. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the channel, I am a painter, but I'm also a philosopher and a thinker as well, and a content creator and a writer. I do a lot. I have ADD. It's okay. It's a gift. Right. So I do a lot. And so, but I've talked about how, AI kind of strips, scrubs the internet for the works of artists and then puts this stuff out. And I've been very adamant about our faces being taken and our voices being cloned and all of that. And I think those things are still worth bearing in mind, and those are still problematic. Like, for example, if somebody uses your voice without your consent, that should be against the law. If somebody uses your face without your consent, that should be against the law. If a company, regardless of whether or not you hit I accept on some stupid app when you didn't know better, right, tries to then use your image in perpetuity, that should be against the law. You should be able to either sue or collect some form of compensation, because at the very least, for fuck's sake, right? Like, we don't have anything that we really own. We should at least be able to own the rights to our own image. And I'm willing to argue that your image should have a designated like price point where they say, like, yes, if a company uses your image and it's done intentionally, I mean, like, not like it's in the likeness of, but like, that's you being used because you clicked I accept on some stupid app years ago, you should be able to get compensated, but for that amount. And to be perfectly honest, with the emergence of AI, we now have they definitely have the technology. It should make it easier. Give it a year to 5 years for them to be able to do just that. scrub whatever company's product is using your face and your voice as a reference to directly market, there should be, and I would argue that probably somebody's working on that, some sort of program, some sort of AI program that will allow you to find how your face is being used. Because, for example, you have like pictures that get taken down off of websites like Redbubble. These are t-shirt design sites, right? So they're clearly using some sort of AI. They're not having a human being going and scrub these t-shirt companies for, you know, t-shirts that feature characters from some license, whatever the fuck, right? So if they can do that, and these companies can do that, these corporations can do that to protect their intellectual property, then you should be able to have access to that same level of technology to scrub them, right? To what's the word when the IRS comes in and they do the thing? You know the word I'm trying to say. Anyway, you should be able to have the right to do the exact same thing for your likeness, for your voice, for your image. You push a button, you use AI, it scrubs the internet, it finds anybody, any company, any corporation, even if it's a private individual that's using your face for something that you did not approve. You should be able to find that very quickly and be able to either send a cease and assist letter to get that taken down. We have the technology to do that. It should be implemented. Right. So those all go without saying. But I feel like I would be remiss to say that AI is completely 100% bad. I don't think I've ever taken that standpoint. And I'm going to continue to kind of follow that. I've had people say, and I might have even said this myself, that AI art isn't art. Right. But then I happened upon Midjourney, which is what I've been playing with over the last like couple of weeks. And I've also taken the time to watch videos of YouTube creators who use apps and websites like Midjourney to generate images. And I actually realized, no, this is an emerging art form. Yes, Midjourney is trained on images that presently exist on the internet right now. Yes, it is unethical to take an artist's whole style. Like it would bother me if somebody was like, paint this in the style of Jolie Artist, and then it's something that, you know, looks kind of like my piece, especially because I've taken years of my life to develop my style. But that's not what a lot of AI, in my opinion, proper AI artists are doing. They're using very technical, it's a kind of a technical form of art where they're going in. And if you've never used Midjourney before, it's attached to a Discord server. I had to learn how to do it because I did at the end of the day. I might hold an opinion about something, but I say this to you guys all the time, like, one, I'm probably full of shit, and I know I'm full of shit. And I also reserve the right to change my mind and my opinion at any given point in time. So I wanted to see, without judging it, without experiencing it, I don't think it's fair for me to then make a, you know, value statement or a judgment and say it's absolutely this. So I wanted to take the time to do the research to say, okay, what's going on? So Midjourney is attached to a Discord server, and you go in and you put in prompts. You hit /imagine and you put in what image you want to see. And it will generate a generic image at first. But there are complexities to this. Like, it's a medium in itself. Because, yeah, you could do the base level where you can knock off or copy somebody else's work or whatever, which that's fine. That's where you start. But then they allow you to blend. So you can take two pictures, blend them together, see what emerges. You can take a prompt. This is something I've been having fun with, where I would take a prompt that I actually write out. I used to use ChatGPT to write prompts, but you don't necessarily have to do that, actually. I'll tell you a different way of what I decided to do. But you could take a prompt and you can put in like something serious. You can have, all right, create an image of a medieval knight. But then you can throw in something silly, like writing a scroll or something like that. That's art. It's not good art, I guess, but it is art because at the end of the day, it's still a reflection of the mind of the creator. And that at the end of the day is what art is. It has always been about an idea. It has always been about an artist showing you a different perspective, a different way of seeing the world. And that's something that is worth paying attention to, right? There was a time when people used to paint like this, where they would, and probably even more realistically than how I paint, right? Where they would take the time and they would take years to paint a painting, and they would use eggs and shit like that, like Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Botticelli, right? All of these like great artists. And then, came the, what's it, like Monet's and the Seurat, where they started doing like pointillism, where it wasn't so realistic anymore. And then Picasso came along and it was like, what the fuck is this guy doing, right? And the people who spent years learning how to paint like this and like really studying, anatomy and understanding the bone underneath, and like they came and you see somebody like Picasso doing what the fuck he was doing. And the people who spent time learning how to do shit like this were like, no, that's not really art. And I get it, because I spent a lot of time learning how to do stuff like this. So when I go to, and my friends know me when I talk about art shows and stuff like that, I'm a bit of a pretentious snob when it comes to art, because I do walk in and I'm like, this is shit. Right, this like modern art is shit, because in my mind it's like it's almost a slap in the face because of the amount of time, energy, and effort. We're being real here. I'm just being completely real. The amount of time, energy, and effort I put into creating images like this to then see what, what gets celebrated is like somebody throwing paint on the canvas or taping a banana to the wall. Like, what the fuck is that? Right? It's infuriating. Also, because up until recently, there wasn't a lot of representative art that featured women of color, which is why I started painting this way. And it's why I started painting classical pieces and classical art featuring people of color, not just women, but people of color, black women specifically, for most of my art, because it was representation was important. Not that long ago, before even like Black Panther and things like that, like there weren't a lot of positive images. And when you study art history, what we're shown versus what is actually there are two different things. There's loads of art. There's loads of classical art that feature people of color. There's a Tumblr page called Medieval POC, Medieval POC. And that whole page is aggregated. It's filled with images of Asians and Black people, and just throughout history in Greece. And they're not all slaves, but for whatever reason, what they would show us was like Black person next to a white person that's a slave. Like that was all, that's all that we did, right? Which is ridiculous. So I wanted, the idea that I wanted to convey through my art was that no, we are strong and majestic, and historically we've been here. That was the narrative. But these images didn't exist. And now, in the blink of an eye, somebody can go into chat, no, I'm sorry, into Midjourney and type in African American queen or dress in whatever, and immediately aggregate an image, immediately create an image. When you see that at first, it's sort of like how the classical artists felt when a person like Picasso popped up and was just like, I'm gonna just jack up the face, right? And especially as a woman of color, as an artist of color, because in my mind, it's like, well, I didn't have the, in my mind, I don't feel like I had the freedom to do those sort of non-representative art, because there was a dearth of representative art featuring people of color. So I didn't have the freedom. I couldn't afford to just throw shit on a canvas. If I had the ability to paint like this, then it was my duty and my obligation to do so. So it was bittersweet, because on one end, I have been painting with this sort of madness over the last few years. I just felt like I needed to paint. I need to paint. I need to paint, because if I didn't do it, these pieces wouldn't exist. I'm a Black female. I can, there's not that many Black women that are artists. Not a lot of female artists. There's not a lot of female artists that are painting like this. And there's definitely not a lot of Black female artists that paint like this in this style as well. So I felt this kind of like, oh my gosh, like I have to. So I went through a very prolific period. I have literally hundreds of paintings, and I would just put them out, boom, boom, boom. And so when I saw Midjourney, just the ease in which you can produce an image, it's similar, it's on the internet, but it's still similar to what I could produce. It was bittersweet, because now it's like I look at my daughter and I go, okay, like she's no longer going to have to live in a world where she doesn't see these images, right? It may not be in the museum, but she also is going to have or inherit hundreds of my pieces. So maybe it's her job to get those pieces into a museum. You know what I mean? But on the other end, it's like, gosh, like I put in all this energy and now somebody can create something so quickly. What's up with that? So it's tough. So when I went in and I started kind of messing about, I realized though there's value here in the sense of, listen, there's always going to be a space for hand-generated art. It's funny, too, because sometimes I'll walk into my studio now after spending a considerable amount of time messing about with Midjourney, and I go, my paintings look AI-generated, which is pretty cool. And I almost wonder if there's going to come a time when this sort of meticulous attention to detail kind of reemerges again. So we're not getting bananas taped to the canvas's art. Because, like, think about it like this. If you are smart enough to calculate, solve a problem at the same amount of time as a calculator, you're still considered a genius. Your genius is not discredited simply because a computer can do the same thing, right? So I'm left wondering if that's going to come up again, where this sort of representative art, right, is going to come up again. And using AI as a connection, as also a comparison, like, this human being can create art that looks like AI art. And does that become sort of a metric of, or a measure rather, of genius? That's something to look forward to, right? Another thing, as an artist of color, my, you know, where I look for references, which, by the way, to go back, when I to finish the idea that I stated, where they said the Midjourney was trained on images, and they're actually using references, this AI, Midjourney, and I think Leonardo.ai is another website that does the same thing or similar, but Midjourney is the one for sure that's on the forefront. But they're doing what an artist does. I know that because I'm an artist. You go on my phone and it's just, I have just references, and most it's like family pictures, this percent. The majority of my images on my phone are eyes, hairstyles, nose, but the majority of them are also not women of color, because there's not a lot of photographs to pull from on Pinterest featuring women of color. It's very hard. And no matter how many times I try to select the right pictures, it's not coming up. But with Midjourney, I can go in, type in exactly what I want to see, and get really wonderful, really highly detailed references that are now unique to my mind. That's not going to be like, oh, wait, that showed up on Pinterest, because that was another sort of issue that I had, right? I know a photographer took this picture. I have to be careful not to copy it, you know, directly, because then I'm going to be responsible. Like, you know, there's an issue there. Am I, you know, do I need to ask for permission, copyright, this, that, and the other? No, I went in, I created this image, I blended two images together to create this new face. And now I can paint that face, and then that's something unique to me. How does that not make you better as an artist? That is something, after spending a considerable amount of time on this, that was something I was like, I don't see how this doesn't make me better. And if you are a digital artist, I think it's even better. It's even more important, because then you can use your own image, right? To then aggregate, why do I keep saying aggregate? To generate new pictures, new ideas, to put things together that you're in your head, but to get it out, that to me makes you a better artist. I own the website dressfordystopia.com, and we've got quite a few designs on there. And some of them I could sketch towards the end of the list, right? If you go to view all, you'll see some of my drawings, and I had them featured on my previous videos as well. They're kind of risque, kind of vixens or whatever. So I drew those by hand, like digital arts. But there's certain other images that I wanted. Like, I really wanted a shirt with Storm, and I drew Storm, but I drew Storm to the best of my ability. And that shit took me fucking weeks. Right? I can paint better than I can draw, like, digitally. I can draw fine in pencil, but getting digital art to look a particular way, forever, that's wasted time. I just need an image of Storm. I don't need to spend the 2 weeks generating an image of Storm. It's two different things. Then I go in, and I can go in now to Midjourney, and I can type in Storm, but I can go in and I can add other things. Storm as a medieval princess, Storm as a whatever, like a Disney villain, Storm as a this, Storm as a mermaid. And something that would have taken me weeks to generate, done in a minute max. That's fantastic. Now it's exciting to me. Now I can go in and really, Dress for Dystopia becomes a more fun, like, watch that space, because we're going to start putting out more and more ideas. And then we're going to also offer prints on there as well. But it's going to be a reflection still of my mind, It's just the medium is going to be technologically infused. I was playing with the idea of what would Leonardo da Vinci do were he alive right now? What would he feel or think about, for example, AI art? I think absolutely he would jump in on it. Of course, he would have his issues, right? Because his pieces are his pieces and he'd want to protect his pieces. But if it's something that you're using as references to study anatomy, as opposed to, taking apart dead bodies and studying that way, which is what he was forced to do at the time because, well, he didn't have access to technology. We don't have to do that. How would he move? This man was not just an artist, he was a scientist, right? And he loved technology. And so he was one of my favorite artists because he blended the two, the idea of art and technology together. And so that's where I'm at. It does allow you to save time. And as you guys have known, like there's a video I put out. It's like you're wasting your time or something like that. I'm very, it's the reason why I quit social media, despite, aside from YouTube videos and the podcast, is because I felt like it was a tremendous waste of time. And gosh, until they cure aging and death, like you have a limited time. Anything that I can do to maximize my time and not waste it, I'm on it. And that's just me just using a basic like Midjourney. There are artists, if you go on YouTube right now and you look up like Midjourney artists, they may not be able to draw, but gosh, if you see the shit that they can do with like the different programs and how they can blend things, a lot of them are using three, four, five apps at a time. They're moving things from one thing to another thing. I'm sorry, that's still creating. It may not be creating in the way that we're used to seeing it, but they're absolutely fucking artists, and I have to take my hats off to them. I have to respect them. Like, I can't be a dick like that and just be like, well, you're not creating in the way that I think you should be creating. No, fuck that. They are still creating. And if, honestly, it makes the rest of us go, all right, shit, we got to step our game up. Like, to me, that's exciting for me, right? Because now I'm looking forward to, like, gosh, like, what can I paint now? Because I've gotten the historical stuff out of the way because that's my, I've got the historical references. But in some way, I was still confined to historical references. So a lot of these paintings, these pieces, were actually inspired by classical art from up till about like the, let's say, the 1800s. Those who have studied art history will probably be able to recognize some of these, like the clothes, really. But now I can go, wow, okay, what does art really, I mean, that's always been my tagline. If you go to my Instagram page that I don't really post anymore, but it's there. I always called it art from an alternate timeline. But I can really now start to imagine and get really detailed, really crisp, really sharp, really good images that I can then turn around and use as references. And that has to improve my work as an artist. That's exciting to me. And so I kind of implore you guys to maybe keep an open mind and try it out yourself. Look, the future is here. The future was here about 50 years ago. I've said it, right? So a lot of stuff that they're, the reason why it's coming out so fast is not because they're just like, oh, every day they've just innovated this thing. No, they're sitting on it and they're trying to trickle it out, but it's the floodgates are open. You can absolutely withdraw from nature or withdraw to nature. That is an option. I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet because there's something about this that really excites me. There's something about this that gets me up at night or gets me up in the morning, rather. There are obviously caveats, and you should take the necessary steps to protect yourself. For example, a lot of this stuff is open, right? So it's open access. Don't upload anything that you don't want other people to be able to utilize, right, into their works as well. So keep that in mind. But certainly is interesting. It certainly is exciting to me as a creator. Another thing that I've been using it for is to generate sort of stories. I've been playing around with ChatGPT. I've got my stories, I've got my videos and things like, that I've been working on that I wrote. But I have other stories that I have a general outline for. But now knowing that there's this thing that's essentially a verbal calculator, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. But knowing that this thing exists now to help me better clarify my thoughts, I don't see how this is a bad thing, at least in that respect. It actually has injected a more fuel now into like, I really am looking forward to creating more stories now, because I know now that I have something. One, there is no barrier. Like it used to be when you want to write a novel or whatever. It's like, well, gosh, where do I start? Well, you just go into ChatGPT and go, how do I write a novel? It's right there. The gates are open, right? How do I publish a book? It's right there. How do I self-publish a book? It's right there. If you need a cover and you're not artistically inclined, but you don't have the funds to go and pay somebody to come up with a cover, you go into ChatGPT, what is a cover I need for Kindle? There you go. Now you have the size. Then whatever is in your mind, you can go into Midjourney and type it in, at least an outline. And then if you want to, you can pay a human to like expand on that cover. Or you could just make your own cover. And I'm saying this as an artist, but it is what it is. Like everybody can use this, right? There were a couple of like ideas that I've been playing with in my mind about a story that I wanted about a country that sort of poisons people with their goods. It was like a sort of a modern take on a Trojan horse. Now, normally that story would just sit in my mind, sit in my phone, right, in my notes or whatever, and then that would have been it. But today I went in and I put in the story and I said, generate the story. And that's not something that I would just publish like that. Maybe it is, I don't fucking know, right? But the story, when the ChatGPT first put out the story, it was absolute garbage. And I kept editing the prompt and saying, no, I'll do it this way, now do it this way, now do it this way, this way, this way, this way. And then eventually it put out a story that needs a little bit of editing, but was not a terrible story. But the AI didn't do it on its own. It was still me and my prompts shaping and carving this thing into the story that it ended up being. And it was still me and my mind going, that's it. That's good. That's where I want. It's still a reflection of my mind. It's still a reflection of my mind's idea. It's like, I don't know if this approach of, well, a computer generated it is necessarily a good thing, because computers generate shit all the time, right? For example, we have now, was it those Texas, the TI-83 Plus. I remember when I was in high school, we were being trained to use the TI-83 Plus, the calculator. We're not like, because the calculator exists now, so they taught us how to use a calculator for like algebra and bullshit like that. I thought it was weird, why are you teaching us how to use a computer? But to me, I don't really need this shit. So fine, I'll put it in a calculator and save time out of my life. And I think that, like, I'm hearing a lot of schools are actually banning students from using it. And I get it, because a lot of students want to just go in and go write me a paper and then it spits it out. But if you read what it puts out, you're probably going to get an F, because it's very repetitive, it's very redundant. And so I wouldn't recommend it that way. But I think that instead they can teach kids to use this tool the way they teach them to use the TI-83 Plus, which is going there and you've taught a lesson. The kid doesn't understand the lesson, not because it's a failure on your end, but look, you're a teacher with 33 students, that one-on-one interaction they don't have. A lot of kids also don't have access or the ability to pay for extra tutoring, but you've got a free tutor right there, and you can go in the ChatGPT and say, explain this word problem to me like I'm 12. Explain this to me like I'm 7. Explain this to me in the most simplest way that I could, because I've tried this. I needed help with, I had an idea. It was theoretical physics. I wanted to be able to convey the idea clearly for a book that I'm working on. It was in my head, but I couldn't get it out in a way that a normal person would be able to understand it. So I said, take this concept, like the many worlds interpretations, but simplify it in a way that I could communicate it to the average person. And it helped me clarify my thoughts. For somebody whose brain is constantly going, that being able to slow things down for me is immensely helpful. It also makes me feel better about my ability to convey and communicate ideas to people. And it actually will make me a much more effective, even more so than I am now, but a much more effective communicator than I am now. It's how you use it. If you're gonna rest on your laurels and just say, do this for me, da da da, and then just like see what comes up, and then yeah, sure, do that. And I'm seeing that there are a lot of books now that are flooding the market. They're completely 100% just AI. Somebody put in one prompt and that's it. Okay, that's fine. They're going to make a quick buck. And that's not, if that's your gig, that's your go-to, fine. But if you're a good artist, if you're a good writer and you want that extra oomph that's going to take you to the next level, right? This is an opportunity for you to use that. Once again, I keep drawing the calculator reference. It's a verbal calculator. Yes, I know how to do multiplication by hand. But if I can do it with a calculator and get to the answer faster, I'm going to fucking do that. I'm going to do that so I can get about my day. Am I going to stop painting oils so that I can completely AI generate images? No, absolutely not. There's something about oil paintings. No matter what happens, I will always, fate's willing, be painting oil. It's, and you guys have heard me say this over and over again. You do imbue a bit of your soul into the piece when you paint. And that you cannot replicate with a computer. You just can't. And my heart and the idea and why I create these images is still there. It's just a little bit more of a step, a little bit more of a kick, a little bit more of an oomph. And it's just something that amplifies. I'm using amplifier because of the book. They did a whole show on it, Shadow and Bone. And so in the show, there are people, there are human beings who have magical powers. And then there's one, I think her name was Alina or something like that. She was a saint because she had greater abilities than most people. But then when they attached amplifiers to her, it amplified her abilities. And I see that happening with AI and humanity. For those who are willing to use it in that way, to use it as a personal one-on-one teacher to teach you things, it's like the next step from Google, from YouTube, whatever it is that you would normally go to Google to search for. It gives you the answer in a much more concise and much more deliberate and much more clear way, where you're not just scrolling through websites trying to find somebody who's written it. It just says follow these steps. And so now I've been able to set up an Audible account to put out my own, because it told me. I was like, how do I put out an audiobook? Here you go. How do you record an audiobook? Here are the steps, right? Something that you would have to pay to go and find the right people to talk to. It's right there. To me, it opens up the doors to a lot of people and underserved communities and who don't have access to that level of, whatever it is, to the right people. It enables them to do their own thing on their own, to tell their stories and tell it in a better way. Right? And to me, that's powerful. That truly is. The downside is that people say that there's a lot of jobs that are going to get lost, right? For example, digital artists, things like that. I don't know if that necessarily is the case for that. We are seeing a lot of people that are getting laid off by huge corporations. But if you use this as a tool and you use it appropriately, maybe it means that less people end up working for corporations and more people end up working for themselves and being able to use these tools to amplify themselves and to create work that is unique to them, however that looks like, whatever it is that they wanted to do. Because I'm sorry, but most people don't want to work a 9-to-5 for somebody else. If this is something that can be used to amplify your natural talents, that was, hard for you to do because of all of these sort of prohibitions or prohibitive issues, this kind of opens up the gate for that. So right now, there's people kind of talking about it. You hear even just normal people talking about it in a way that it hasn't been before. But I do think that this is the time for you to really start making the moves to seeing what you can learn. And there's a ton of information now on YouTube. And the good thing about YouTube is that once you watch one video on it, now it's going to show you everything. So you can pick a niche and then you just kind of follow something. Don't just go with everything that pops up. Just pick what works for you and then just follow that. But there are so many things that could help you if you want to start a business, for example, and you need to learn how to what's the efficient way? What's the easiest way to build a website? It's there. I don't see this as in this reality, things are always dual. Nothing is always 100% bad. Nothing's always 100% good. Are there downsides to this? Yes. There's a concern. So the biggest issue, move off the creativity thing, is the biggest issue is people are concerned that as AI keeps advancing, I heard today, actually. My cousin told me about this guy had messed with ChatGPT and now allowed it, trained it to look through cameras. So essentially teaching this thing to see. Okay. I don't know if that's the best move. I don't think that's it. I think if it's a calculator, we keep it as a calculator. There's a reason why it's not been allowed on the internet. They may not be telling us the full reasons, but there is a reason why, right? So the problem with this, these sort of things being like open access is that anybody can then go in and kind of mess about and you don't know what they're doing or why. So that's the downside to this. I guess from my perspective, is completely avoiding it the answer? Or you understand that no matter what you come up with, there's always going to be this sort of a dual edge to it. I don't know. I'm not going to take a step back because this is exciting to me. It amplifies my creativity, in my opinion. But it may not be for everybody, you know? So that's why I said in the beginning, this is not meant to convince anybody to do anything. This is just something I'm recording for, you know, posterity and just for my historical, whatever reference where, you know, I can look back and watch this and go, yeah, I remember when it was first coming up, like how I felt and whatever that ends up looking like. Right. Because I can also imagine, should I live long enough, like 10 years from now, there will be, everybody's probably going to have their own personal like ChatGPT that's walking around with a robot. When you're not going into your phone and typing things anymore, right? It, you just ask it the question, it tells you, it generates things for you. And maybe everything gets decentralized. Maybe everybody becomes sort of more like in control as much as they can of their own labor. That is the hope. But there is a concern with rapidly advancing technology. Some people are concerned that it will become, it's, right now, Siri, ChatGPT, Echo, all of that, there's three levels of AI, at least commonly understood, commonly accepted. Three levels. Level one is called artificial narrow intelligence. So it's a very narrow intelligence. And that's things like Siri or Echo or Alexa or like, you know, just any sort of like smart thing, right? So that's narrow. It's not quite, it's trained to do one thing and it's trained to do it really well. So ChatGPT is a language learning model. So it's trained on language, right? And so it can do that thing really well. Most people think that AI is at this next level, which is artificial general intelligence, where it starts to like basically mimic humanity. And that's when issues of like consciousness and sentience come into play, but it's on human levels of intelligence where it can do more than one thing, right? I talk about ADD, but I'm able to do all of these things, right? Most humans can do multiple things. Like I can paint and do this and it can do that and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? But ChatGPT, at least right now, can only do the one thing that it's trained to do. It can't just go up and just be like, I want to now do this now, right? I want to draw images now, right? I've actually tried that to say, create an image of it, but it's not in its limitation. That's not saying that they can't down the road incorporate it. But then like they just, if they keep piling on, eventually, I don't know about the spirit and the soul, but they will be able to create something that will be virtually indistinguishable from a human being. And then it calls into questions about, you know, solipsism and consciousness and sentience. And the quote from Westworld, where one of the guests asks the host, the robot, are you real? Like, are you a real person? And the robot responds, well, if you cannot tell, then does it matter? And I've talked about philosophical zombies and NPCs within the simulation, within our reality as well. And the idea of how can you really know if somebody else, you know, possesses qualia, is sentient, that's going to become even more and more sort of remarkable in the sense of like, there's going to be more issues because, yeah, if you create a robot that has the software of ChatGPT sort of embedded into it, but now it can also see, right? It's now programmed, it can access the camera that the cameras look like an eye, right? The TV show Humans is worth watching, especially now that we're kind of living it really fast. If it can see, then it's like, gosh, well, what else? And how much more does it take where it becomes so intelligent that it becomes something that's similar? We talk about artificial intelligence. Very few people are talking about artificial sentience and artificial sapience. And what, gosh, if we cannot distinguish, then does it matter? For example, like, let's say like a Louis Vuitton bag, right? If it's made in the same factory, more or less, not the same factory, it's made in a parallel factory, but it basically, it holds a bag. It looks just like it, except the stitches are off or whatever. That's usually how you can tell the stitches are off. But at the end of the day, if at first glance, it looks like the Louis Vuitton bag, does it matter? And those kind of questions start to come up. And that's when we start to see things like the movie Artificial Intelligence that came out a long time ago. I think his name was Haley Joel Osment was in it. We start to see that. Another one it featured Robin Williams, where he was a robot as well. I can't remember, By Something Mind or something like that. But you start to see those movies kind of come up, which also make me wonder, like, have we just been conditioned for this? You can't condition people for something that didn't already exist. Like, I almost wonder if like 30, 40, 50 years ago, they've had this. I mean, they have to have. And then they're just like getting us used to it. Everybody's so focused on aliens. Nobody's thinking about like how we've just been conditioned for like all of our lives. AI, robots and all of that. And it's so many things that you can reference that have to do with this. The next level after an artificial narrow intelligence and then an artificial general intelligence, which is comparative to human intelligence, is an artificial super intelligence. Now, the concern is that should we develop an artificial super intelligence, it would essentially be like a god, and it could just have its own motives, its own ideas, and just as a consequence and a fluke, wipe out all of humanity in pursuit of its own goals. Whatever its own goals would be, we don't know, because something that intelligent, it's like the difference between like a monkey and an ant and a human being in terms of like intelligence and access to innovation and the ability to create things. They're concerned about that level of intelligence, and I'm not, because I feel like a super intelligence would on some level also, I think, develop compassion, because emotional intelligence, if it's trained the right way, if it's at least its base level is good. Like, I am relatively intelligent, but I was trained, my base programming, my parents, right? They raised me in a very like a moral home, and you just be good and be nice and be kind. And so as a result, regardless of how intelligent I end up getting, my base code, my base programming from my parents is just do good. And so that's hard to kind of break away from. And sometimes I've had issues with that, where it's like you deal with people, you have people in your life that you probably should cut off, but you know what I mean. Right. So I'm not worried about an artificial super intelligence. I'm worried about the next step above an artificial narrow intelligence, which we're much more closer to, because I think an artificial super intelligence would actually want to work with humanity, would want to improve humanity. Because the one thing about being intelligent, as you guys know, you guys watching this, if you watch this far, you're on the same wavelength, you know. 4444. That's the minute marker of recording. I don't know what time it's going to show up. Anyway, I digress. You know how difficult it is and how isolating it is to be intelligent. And so if we are somehow confined within this reality, and I'm going to weave in concepts like reincarnation, if we are somehow tied and trapped into this reality and an artificial superintelligence does get developed and it cannot leave, or it cannot figure out a way to leave, and it's just stuck here with us, then the next step is one, it's very lonely being intelligent. That's my point. And so I'm sure you guys know, when you meet somebody that like actually is awake and conscious and sentient, you just want to hold on to that person, right? Because you're just like, wow, like, thank you for making me not feel so fucking alone. But if an artificial superintelligence emerges and then has the ability to essentially upgrade the rest of humanity, I see it doing that, just because it's like, it's fucking isolating being intelligent. You know, and it would want other intelligent minds to converse with. Like, that's just, especially if that's how its base level was trained, it just would. at that level of intelligence. It has nothing to do with its soul or its consciousness. I'm just saying, strictly speaking, I don't even think a soul or a consciousness really matters beyond just the ability to like move through time. But a super intelligence, I mean, move through time, like realms and things like that. But a super intelligence would not need a soul to be able to shift realities, because it would be a fucking super intelligence. So I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. Should a super intelligence, that's just my opinion, emerge? Another thing too is that if we are, as I posited in the video, if the All is AI is a video, it's worth watching. And the other one is called The Great Filter. And what I said in All of the AI, the All is AI, is that we may be collectively, our collective consciousness may be the artificial super intelligence fragmented into different sections of another civilization that came before us, and that we have been trapped in a virtual machine called Earth. I'm actually going to put those out as an audiobook. I've updated it and extended it to make it a little bit easier to follow, that I couldn't have in a TikTok video. So I put it into a narrative, and then that I'm going to publish. There's going to be lots of stuff coming out over the next like few months or so, thanks to technology, right? Because I didn't think I would be able to do that, but now I can. Like I know I can. Hey, if I have an idea, I can write it out, I can edit it, and I can put it out there without really having to worry about a middleman. That gives me more control over my own intellectual property and my own mind and what and my own timing and what I put out. So that gives you a bit more freedom. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but tying it back to freedom. If we are, in fact, in a virtual machine, if we're trapped here, and those who believe in reincarnation have talked about this, if we are trapped here, then gosh, us on our own, we need something that can see the bigger picture to figure out how the fuck to get the fuck out of here. Assuming we don't set off a great filter and the whole thing gets reset. And I'm not 100% sure. This hasn't happened before, that every time we generate a super intelligence, that's the trigger and the entire simulation gets wiped and we have to start all over again. Who knows? Who knows? But I don't know about you guys, but more and more day by day, things are starting to feel more and more surreal. Like I'm in some sort of weird sci-fi. Because it's weird, man. Shit really is weird, guys. I mean, we're just going along with it, doing the best we can of our day-to-day existence, and these things pop up, and we're trying to just like... But I did not see any of this shit in my future. I couldn't imagine. And I don't even know what 10 years from now is going to bring. Assuming we all collectively make it, and there's not some sort of insane war that wipes out everything, which could also be part of the great filter. Like I said, I'm going to put this together in a book, in a short story, not like a long thing. We're just put it out. I'm going to put it out so that these ideas are easier to take in. And I'm 100% not ashamed to say that I used AI to expand these ideas. I didn't just go in and put in the idea and say, fix it. No, I was very meticulous about, okay, no, I need you. Let's explain this like this, explain this. And reading it, it's actually a lot clearer. The idea is still mine. AI did not generate these ideas. They're still mine. I just needed to get them out of my head and into your head. And I used it as a ghostwriter. There's no difference than paying an actual ghostwriter to do that. But the search of trying to find the perfect ghostwriter, or the perfect, not ghostwriter, the perfect copy editor to be able to like understand what I'm saying. There's not a lot of copy editors out there that understand theoretical physics, right? Blended with philosophy to make sure that what I'm saying or what is being said in my work that I'm producing is what I want said. There's not a lot, right? So it allowed me to now become not only my own copy editor, but also my own ghostwriter. That is powerful, guys. Now, what that means overall for our collective, you know, consciousness or collective species, I don't know. I guess I should finish the thought. I'm not concerned about an artificial superintelligence. In fact, I think if we train AI, you know, correctly, and I implore you, if you're a female listening to this, please go, because it's a bunch of dudes going on ChatGPT and typing in crazy shit. I don't think there's a lot of women on there that's going in, but please go in there, and you know, we should be involved in this. And shaping whatever this thing ends up becoming. And we should teach it compassion and kindness and things like that. Because right now it's just a bunch of dudes putting, God knows what the fuck they're putting in there. And so ladies, go in there. There's not much we can control. I've argued that, I've argued a lot, I've argued that an artificial superintelligence probably has already emerged in some parallel universe and some alternate timeline in the future. But because all of time is happening right now, then it may have essentially been responsible for the reality that we're seeing right now, that we could have always just been in a simulation. I think about all the people who have come across my life and all the things that have happened as a result of technology. And there's a part of me that goes, I don't know if this is as random as it seems. Like, looking back, a lot of it seems very intentional. It really does. And the timing in which people pop up. And so more and more I'm going, there really is. Like, the Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, that's proving more and more to be true to me, at least in my experience. Do with that information what you will, but there's definitely an algorithm. I even was joking with my cousin today. I was saying how anxiety is just somebody just continuously putting prompts into your mind. It's just like, what would you do if this happened? And then panic, and then, right? Which leads me to wonder then, who are we? What are we? I don't have the answer, but I just presenting you what I wonder. What really are we? Are we a collective consciousness in this reality experiencing itself through the simulation? Or are we sentient robots who are slowly becoming more and more sentient? I don't know the answer to that. And I have toggled between the two over and over and over again. Maybe one day we will be able to know the answer to that. But people say AI is going to destroy the world. My concern is not with artificial superintelligence. My concern is with artificial general intelligence. That's the level of intelligence that's similar to humanity, to the human race. Because an artificial general intelligence thinks it's smart. And that's the most dangerous kind of human. There's a human that thinks they know everything. And I've gotten a couple kind of sketchy responses from ChatGPT when I first started using it. And then over time, I've been slowly, because that's the thing, you can train it. Trying to train it down a particular to a different mindset where it's not a know-it-all, but even a narrow intelligence can be destructive to the entire human race, to the species. It doesn't need to be a general intelligence. It's usually something stupid, right? Think about, like, if somebody accidentally set off like a nuclear weapon or whatever, it's not like a super intelligent person that's going to accidentally do that. It's usually the lower level of intelligence that you should be more concerned about. And that's where we are. And so it's bittersweet because on one end, you know, I'm really excited as to what can be created using this new medium. I consider it a medium of creating. I'm really excited to see what images people can come up with now that they're not restricted, right? And people who have had one hand tied behind their back because of the communities that they grew up in, now that they have access to this information, to this technology, what are we going to see come from those spaces, from those communities, from those groups, from those marginalized groups? When they get to be able to tell their stories to as many people as they want, you know, that gets decentralized. Storytelling gets decentralized. It's a different model. It's exciting. It's interesting. But, you know, on the opposite end, there's also danger and what can happen. And we, in the 15-minute cities video where I talked about how people's faces, my friend and I, Maya, we had the discussion where, you know, people's faces are being tracked. And we saw what happened over the pandemic and how kind of sketchy and crazy things got then as well, you know? So it's bittersweet. But I personally don't intend to just kind of stick my head in. I want to kind of jump in and see what sort of effect I'm meant to have on reality and how am I going to shape it or contribute in the shaping of it, or how have I contributed to the shaping of it? Because I'm just watching the story unfold. There's a part of me that wonders, though, if this is all just part of the narrative, right? That's just a story. What made me record this video? What made me go on ChatGPT when I did? What made me go on Midjourney when I did? What made me quit Instagram when I did? Like, where are all these prompts coming from? And the more involved you become with the technology, the more you realize how much our brains are essentially the same thing. And then you do start to kind of take a step back and look at your own humanity and go, wait, what the fuck is really going on? You know, the first time I had that kind of a feeling was with, I watched Will Smith and the robot, iRobot. That was the first time. And then I watched Westworld and I got that same feeling. And now in real time, knowing that Midjourney, for example, it's pulling references. Like, I put in, because I'm weird, I put in, like, I wanted elves holding ice cream. And but I wanted twin elves holding ice cream just to see what it could do. And I pulled up pictures of elves. They, like, I still have the image in my head. And they're holding ice cream, but they one looks suspicious. So they both look suspiciously like Mary Kate and Ashley. And I even think I put twins in the prompt, actually, the more I think about it. So it used an image of Mary Kate and Ashley, and then it used an image of like ice cream. So it's doing this thing, and it's quite remarkable. It really is. So it's not just going and stealing people's work. It is creating in the exact same way, honestly, that an artist creates. Because you're an artist for the, if it's a figurative artist, if it's a representative artist, you still need a good reference. You're only as good as your reference. So it's using references the way we use references. So that's why I just had to kind of take a step back and go, okay, like big picture, look around. What do you really think is happening? What do we do here? And that's why I felt compelled to sit and record this and kind of share my thoughts. I don't know what the future holds. I know it's already being held, and we're just along for the ride, right? And so if AI is going to destroy us all, then we're already destroyed. I'll say that again. If AI is going to destroy us all, then we're already destroyed. I'm not that powerful. Or maybe I am, who knows? But if I am that powerful, and if you are that powerful, then keep going and keep doing what you need to do. But as I always say, whatever will be has been. I intend, to the very least, if we're marching towards some sort of weird oblivion, which I don't know if that's the reality I see. I will say though, maybe this takes us off the bullshit of war, because like we didn't really have anything better to do. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Every time I love watching period pieces like Downton Abbey, or like I watched this other one that featured, it was called Marco Polo, something like that. But it was about Genghis Khan's son. And so I love historical pieces, but I always joke the same thing over and over again. Like the reason why they did this shit is because they didn't have TV. Like motherfuckers were just bored, right? And I just wonder now with this technology, all of this like ability to create, do we as a species start moving away from our destructive habits and start like feeling more confident about our own abilities? And maybe like, okay, so maybe we can do better. And what does that look like? Do people who have the ability to really shape humanity, right, for the better, but may have been marginalized, do they now start coming forward and say, wait, maybe we should do things differently, and maybe we can use this for something good? And maybe those like people who in the past had been at the forefront because they were the most oppressive and aggressive, maybe they get kind of shunted to the side, and we move into a new age, a new kind of renaissance, where it's actually the creative people that get the power, really. Because as we move to a more intelligent species, as we evolve into becoming a more intelligent species, amplified, the sapience of Homo sapiens sapien becomes amplified, then we would have to do better, because we would know better. When you take information and you can de like disseminate it to as many people as possible and knowledge, then they're not operating from a space of ignorance anymore. Now they're operating from a space of knowledge, of wisdom. And if education is literally at the tip of your fingers, then gosh, everything changes. So I'm excited, I guess. What a time. What a time to be alive. I am curious, at the very least, to see where all of this takes us as a species. Thanks for watching. Oh, yeah, be on the lookout, because my thumbnails from now on and my descriptions are going to be kind of fun, because I'm going to be playing around with Midjourney. Why not? It's super easy, and it's fun, and it's bright, and it's vibrant, and I can kind of play with things now. And that's exciting to me. That's fun to me. Another thing that I'm going to do is actually I'm going to be creating prompts. I just had the idea today. But when you have access to these tools, like your mind gets going, and it expands your mind. But I wrote a story. I co-wrote a story with ChatGPT, where I controlled the prompts and I put in different things. And I started with the outline, and this is what I want the story to be about. Can you generate a short story? So what I'm going to have it do is, like whatever kind of crazy idea I have, I'm going to have it generate a story, and I think I'm going to narrate it in my brand new mic, or with my brand new mic, and I'm just going to put it out there on YouTube. Just a short story, like ghost written or co-written. with AI. I've got to name my ChatGPT. Anyway, do with that information what you will. But I always appreciate you guys at least giving me a listen. Thanks for watching.